For a program like this, being at a loss for words is not the ideal position to be in when words are the entire content that's being produced here. But game two of the Warriors Grizzlies has put me at a loss. I'm still in a bit of shock. We're recording this today at 1 p.m. The day after. Brian Witt, a former writer for the Golden State Warriors themselves and also for NBC Sports Bay Area. He used to manage be one of the individuals running the Twitter account there. He loves the Warriors like me. He also follows the Warriors intently like me. We're going to break this down. We're going to break down Gary Payton II's season-ending injury. We're going to break down the game itself. There is a lot to cover and a lot of days before Game 3 comes up. And we're going to do our best to provide you with all the information, coverage, and insight that hopefully you need and want. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Brian Witt on Twitter at Witnessed, with an extra T in there to represent his name. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DocSurFrocho. Hall of Famer Rick Barry is going to join this program soon. When he jumps in, I'm going to go right to him. I'll say this. He hasn't watched the full game yet, so I'm not bringing him on for specifically an in-game analysis. What I really would love from Rick, and I hope he provides this, is feedback and perspective as a former great. The man is a Hall of Famer, won a title with the Warriors in 75. And I just haven't really heard, I think, proper perspective on this, especially from a former Warriors player. So he's going to join us in just a moment. But Brian, I have you with me. This time the audio issues are resolved. People will actually hear you without having issues with it.
Yes. My bad about the last time. Sorry about that.
There's no bad anywhere. It happens. It's technology. But give us your first thoughts, man. I mean, I'm sure you have a lot, and I'm going to play a lot of sound to represent my part of it, specifically from Chris Mullen. I thought he articulated perfectly my opinions on that play. But Brian, your thoughts on that play and the game in general?
I think anybody who's ever played a game of basketball in their life knows that what Dillon Brooks did is just something that you don't do. It's a cardinal sin in basketball. You do not push someone from behind while they're in midair, and certainly not at that kind of speed and force. Even if Dillon Brooks had gone for the ball, and even if he had made contact with the ball, I mean, Gary Payton's probably still going down. But that's not what Dillon Brooks did. He did not make any attempt to go for the ball. It was apparent in real time. It was apparent upon replay. There's just no room for that kind of play in the game. I surely expect and hope that the league is going to come down with some additional punishment for Brooks, because they can't let that go, unanswered.
Yeah. You brought up a tremendous point when we were talking before we started recording the show today. Because I was raising a million points in my Twitter account last night. But now that we're articulating this thing verbally here and visually, I cannot for the life of me just be okay with Draymond Green hitting a player in the face. It was not excessive. I don't see how you can define that as excessive. It's not like there were marks on his face, like Draymond's stitches on his face. He tried to catch the player as he was falling down. No one was hurt on the play, yet the exact same penalty is applied to Draymond Green for that play as it is for Dillon Brooks knocking Gary Payton II out for the rest of the year. And they're both issued flagrant twos. And I think you bring up a great point, and I'd love for you to elaborate in terms of the potential suspension, which may or may not happen. Precedent indicates that there may not be a suspension. But elaborate on what we were talking about, because I'm with you. If you don't suspend him, you're basically creating this incredible false equivalency of these two different plays with the same punishment. Elaborate, sir, please.
Yeah, so regardless of what you think about whether or not Draymond deserved a flagrant two in game one, unless you are unbelievably biased, I think we can all agree that what Dylan Brooks did was substantially worse, right? Mm-hmm. And so once the refs established that what Draymond did reached the level of a flagrant two, to me, they have, in essence, created a situation where they have to suspend Brooks for the reason that you said, for this false equivalency. Mm-hmm. You can't punish Draymond and Brooks the same way, to the same degree, for two things, for two actions that were not to the same degree. And I get it. I know that Draymond's reputation worked against him in his scenario. Brooks doesn't have as long of a reputation, or he just, you know, hasn't been playing in the league as long. So, he doesn't have the same kind of, sort of mass notoriety, but, take the names off the jerseys. Just look at what transpired on the court yesterday. Like I said, there's absolutely no room for that in an NBA game, a college game. If you're playing, you know, pickup at the park, you don't do that. I understand that Brooks essentially missed the entirety of game two. I mean, it was 3 minutes in when he was ejected. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that will be factored in as the league considers additional punishment. But I don't see how that is sufficient in itself. I think Brooks deserves at least a two-game suspension. Minimum. I think there's a lot of validity to the argument that a player who injures another player, and that player is then misses the rest of the season or is out for an extended period of time, the injuring player, there should be some sort of connection between how long those two players are out because they're connected by the injury itself. And so I don't think, I think he should get a multi-game suspension. I don't think he will. I would, just guessing, I expect that he'll get a one-game suspension and be out for game three. That sort of would be consistent with the punishments that the league has handed down for kind of similar fouls this year. Mm-hmm. Most notably the Grayson Allen foul on Alex Caruso I think Caruso broke his wrist and was out for like 6 weeks. That only garnered a one game suspension. At the time, almost everybody thought that was, severely insufficient.
Correct.
But, that is the precedent, right? And that was in the regular season, and this is the playoffs. So as much as Warriors fans rightfully want to see the league take this very seriously, I have my doubts that the league will take it as seriously as they'd hope.
I totally agree with you, because even with that Grayson Allen suspension, it felt like they were kind of forced to suspend him for a game. I don't think they were intending on doing so at first, but the backlash, the feedback was so strong that it just, the league had to act. And I agree with you. I feel like Dylan Brooks should be suspended for the rest of this series. But I mean, it's the only justifiable punishment given Gary Payton II is out for the rest of the playoffs. It's really driving me crazy hearing all these media types giving Ja Morant accolades for, look, it was a fantastic stat line. and he was the reason they won. But to be in a celebratory mood, given the Grizzlies took out the one guy that was giving him problems all season long, I'd say temper that a little bit. It's a little classless to do so. My sentiments, I could sit here and talk all day and just be negative. I thought Chris Mullin expressed perfect sentiments in regards to the level of dirtiness applied to the play, why it's wrong. Steve Kerr brought up the word code, and people were actually questioning him, like, there is no code in basketball. That is asinine. First, let's hear Chris Mullin.
The play was, it's 3 minutes into the game, so it's uncalled for. It's dirty. We can't speak on intent. We don't know that. Right. But when you look at the replay, he was nowhere near the ball. Nope. He just took Gary Payton II out to the ground, hit him in the head and the neck. Yeah, he broke every code. Never mind NBA code. If you were playing a pickup game, that would be...
It would be a brawl.
A major brawl. Right? So that was a dirty play. There's no question about that. I think he will be suspended. That's my personal opinion when the league looks at that and the fact that Gary Payton's now out for the season. As far as Gary Payton goes, this kid has done everything right. He's took the long journey to find the place where he fits perfectly. He's played incredible basketball. He's solidified himself as a big-time part of this championship team. So for this to happen at this point, any point, but at this point especially, it just makes it that much more worse. Feels so bad for him. But Steve Kerr said it best. Dylan Brooks broke the code. That was a dirty play. No question about it.
I wholeheartedly agree with him. And when people ask, well, I didn't know there was a code in basketball, that is one of the most naive, ignorant statements I've heard out there. He said it best. I mean, look, anyone who plays basketball has played on a blacktop. You know, they've played in public settings with strangers oftentimes. And if you did something like that on a blacktop, you are starting a fight. You're getting punched in the mouth right away because that is just a dirty play. You don't do that. And we're going to break.
Forget a basketball code. How about just a human code, right?
Yes. Like,
we know when we are putting someone else in danger, right? We are aware of our actions and how they affect others, our presence in relation to someone else's presence. And there, Dylan Brooks knew, you know, I'm sure he didn't know that he was going to break Gary Payton's elbow. But he knew that he was committing a heinous foul. He knew that. As Mullen said, he wasn't anywhere close to the ball, coming in at the speed he did, at the time of the game he did. The intent was to lay a hard foul to a player who was streaking towards the basket. And the result was what happens when you do that. And so I think... anyone who's denying that there's a code in basketball, again, has never played. To take it a step further, you know, I saw people saying, oh, you know, it's ironic that Steve Kerr is bringing up this code when Draymond Green is a consistent violator of the code. And I ask, okay, so when was the last time that Draymond pulled something that dangerous, that out of line, that potentially career-ending kind of play?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm going to stop you for a second just because I got to pay some bills here real quick, and then Hall of Famer Rick Barry is going to chime in. But you're absolutely correct, and we're going to touch on that a lot more because results matter, right? Like, what actually occurs from your actions do matter, not just the action itself. But first, we got to talk about Built Bar, a longtime sponsor of this program, and I apologize today. It's a somber day. I mean, there's no fun here when the Warriors lost the way they did and lost a vitally important player the way they did. But look, summer's coming. With summer, you're going to need some food on the go. And Built Bars are those perfect snacks to take with you on family vacations. You throw them in your bag and your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. Look, I packed on a few pounds recently. I suddenly noticed it. I was like, oh boy, because I was eating a lot of Lucky Charms. My stepson just has been gorging on those things, and so have I. And all of a sudden, I look down and I've gained like 10 pounds. Whoa. So I got to go back to my focus of just Built Bars. And these things are really healthy for you when, in the grand scheme of things, given on average, they only have 130 calories each. Whereas opposed to a candy bar has like 240, but it's the sugar that is a true toxin for your body. And Built Bars only have 4 grams on average of sugar per Built Bar while packing 17 grams of protein. And they taste great. They're covered in real chocolate. Just go to Built.com to get all your favorite flavors. Mine is cookies and cream. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Brian Witt on Twitter at Witnessed with an extra T in there. And you can follow Hall of Famer Rick Barry on all social media platforms at Rick24Barry. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that you haven't seen the whole game yet, but you did watch that play at the beginning. As someone who is a Warriors legend, as someone who has played this game better than pretty much anyone, your observation skills are second to none. What were your thoughts on that play, sir?
Well, I actually have seen the whole game, and I should have taken freaking notes. There's so much to talk about, so many things that happened that were just, I was going crazy. You call me a purist, whatever you want to call me, but I can't even stand watching the way officials officiate games these days. It just drives me nuts. And the Warriors had a lot to blame themselves for. Some of the shots they took when they got ahead in that fourth quarter, oh my God, they came down like 2 or 3 times in a row with nobody under the basket. What the heck was Steph thinking about him? You know, I love Steph Curry. When he took that shot that almost hit the, I mean, that was just unbelievable. I can go on and on and on. Now, as far as the play goes, he deserved to be thrown out of the game. And unfortunately, it broke bad memories for me because that's how I got hurt my first time ever and tore my cartilage. I had a play. There is no business for that player to ever even try to make a play defensively on that play. I mean, he had no chance in the world to be able to block it. And the same thing happened to me and a player, and I remember the guy's name. I won't say it to go ahead and kill him. But anyway, he came up. I had a layup. I'm going in for a layup, and he comes in and stupid play, just like that was a stupid play. And I wind up tearing my cartilage and out for like 6 to 8 weeks back in those days when they didn't have arthroscopic surgery. So, man, that one hit home on me. I couldn't believe he made that play. And then there was almost another one. I mean, what was Jackson Jr.'s deal? I mean, he was like killing people out there. He almost did the same thing and could have really hurt, Poole on that one play when he came in there.
Right.
And Poole even looked over like, what the heck? And then he killed Poole again when he came from the weak side and knocked him to the floor. I don't know what his issue was, but he was knocking people dead. I was going nuts watching that game. And then Draymond, to get called for a couple of fouls he got called, were like, what was the official watching? The call against John Morant in the critical part of the game? Saying
at the end of the game, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I mean, that was ludicrous. There was hardly any – there was no real push. I mean, that was – Ja did a great job of acting because they both were going for the ball, and Ja was a little off balance when he did it. And when they were going for the ball, he wound up, you know, he's going to get the call. My gosh, I can go on and on about what happened here. And then what are the Warriors doing? I mean, make Ja. I mean, I don't care. I could live with him making his 3-point shots. But
Same.
My God, he's so elusive, and he gets to the basket. But you got to just stop and make him beat you from the perimeter. And he happened to have a hell of a game shooting the ball from outside this time. But I can live with Ja Morant beating me from the perimeter. I can't live with Ja Morant getting inside 3 feet from the basket, 5 feet from the basket, kicking it out to open shots. And then how do you expect to win when you shoot 18? And they almost won. They could have easily won that game. 18% from 3-point range. You're not going to beat anybody taking 30 something, almost 40 shots and making 18% of them only. And they shot 42% from twos. So this, despite all of this stuff that happened, that was a game the Warriors could have won. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they won one of the games when Steph and Clay, both of them didn't have good shooting games from 3-point range. So, you know, get them back home, familiar surroundings, let them play the way that they're playing. I don't think that Memphis is a better basketball team than the Golden State Warriors.
Same.
And I just feel that the Warriors have not played a good game, and they're 1-1.
I totally agree with you. Rick and Brian, I'd love for both of you to chime in on this. I've been scrutinized as being a conspiracy theorist because to me, there's a blatant bias against the Warriors coming from these officials. I did not even bring that up. But at the end of the game, you're right. They called the foul on Draymond Green for grabbing a rebound because John Morant was close to him. And then there was a blatant travel on John Morant that was not called, but they call a travel on Klay Thompson at the end of the game there.
That was not a travel either. I stopped that thing and watched it in super slow, frame by frame. It wasn't even close to being a travel that they make that call with all the traveling and stuff that goes on in a regular game. And that's at that stage of a game to make a traveling call. Oh my God. I almost fell out of my freaking chair. That was just pathetic. The official should be ashamed of himself for making that freaking call. But there were so many things that happened in that game that were so wrong on so many freaking levels. I'll tell you what, that was one hell of a block on Steph when he did it. Now, here's the thing. If Steph had taken one more dribble, see, in that situation, here's the deal. These players are so athletic, and that's a perfect example of the amazing athleticism of today's players in the NBA. That was an incredible block. He got it just basically at its peak. It was not goaltending. Great block. But I try to tell my players when I was coaching, guys, when you drive in and you go, and there's still some people, and I said it to my youngest son, Canyon, all the time, take the extra dribble and go and use the rim as a defender for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Steph had taken another dribble and went to the right side, the defender would have had no chance whatsoever of being able to come over and make that block because the rim would have been between him and the basket, would have been between him and Steph. So you have to understand that that's what you should do in those situations. Now, Steph's great at the floater, but one more dribble could have taken right to the rim for a layup off the glass, and he takes that defender out of play.
And that was DeAnthony Melton you're referring to, who's actually 6'2", that blocked Steph.
His arm was ridiculously over the back. That was an incredible defensive block. But as they say, one more dribble by Steph, he gets all the way to the glass, and there's no play on that ball, and they get 2 points. But there were so many little things that went on that just could have gone the Warriors' way and didn't. But the thing that probably I was most upset about was, you know, how many times Jog was getting into the middle. Now, he's so good, he can do that to some people. I mean, with the spin moves and stuff. But what you have to do is you have to be smart enough to play him and, you know, kind of jump a little double and then back. On one of the plays that he would have made that great play, he actually, Poole and all, they didn't communicate. They didn't talk and switch, and he had an easy path to the basket late in the game. And that's the kind of stuff you just can't afford to do with a player like that who was having a hell of a basketball game. I mean, there were so many things that happened. One of the plays that Ja went in there, he actually hit the ground before he passed the ball out, and they didn't call traveling on that. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You know, and of course, you know, you have the luxury of on some of these plays of doing super slow motion and running it back. But I only do that to see if the official was right or not right. And then they weren't right the majority of the time. There was a lot of bad calls. And I thought that Ja got fouled a couple times that they didn't make calls. I'm not just being biased towards the Warriors. They screwed Ja a few times when I thought he got hit and they didn't call the foul. And this is what drives me nuts, Cyrus. You know me. Oh, it's playoff basketball. Well, take that and stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
Brian, you have a lot of really inside connections to the Warriors from your years working there, and I think you were working for them in 2016 when the Draymond suspension happened. What goes on behind the scenes in cases like this? I guess paint a picture for the audience. Are the Warriors making calls to the NBA right now going, what the hell is going on here? Like why is this so one-sided? Are they just sitting there accepting things? And your thoughts as well on all those plays at the end?
Well, I think, you know, every team in the league is going to do their lobbying for, you know, for what they feel needs to be argued. You know, back in 2016, I remember we were actually on the flight back from Cleveland, or we were like boarding when it showed up on Twitter that he was getting that it was being changed to the flagrant two or whatever it was. And I'm sure that the Warriors are you know, reaching out to the league office to, I don't know specifically the chains that they would go up, but, you know, I think it was readily evident last night, whether it was Steve Kerr's, you know, end of quarter interview or, you know, Draymond and Steph's post-game interviews, they are clearly very upset and bothered by this, as they should be. So, You know, I think they will make sure that they're heard, and we'll see if that ends up, you know, impacting whether or not he's suspended and for how long. As for the calls last night, you know, I personally thought that the officiating was significantly better than game one. I thought, you know, in game one, it was the calls and the rulings themselves that were so egregious. You know, forget the Draymond flagrant. I think that really overshadowed the Steph Curry, Dylan Brooks charge block question that went to review and absolutely should have been overturned. It was the most obvious block of the playoffs, and yep. And the reasoning they used to uphold it didn't. That's not the rule. So I thought that was just truly odd. And then last night, you know, I thought for the most part, or at least in comparison, I thought the officials did a better job of just handling the game throughout. But as you said, as you pointed out, some of those calls towards the end, it's the timing of those calls, where they occur in the game, that I think you have to look at and say, hey, that shouldn't be called there. You know, the Clay travel, Morant got away with a carry towards the end. You know, on the other side of the coin,
blowing the whistle the whole game. If you talked about carries, they carried the ball walking up the damn floor.
It was egregious. It was egregious. Gentlemen,
Jordan
Rick,
Poole carries the ball a ton too. So,
everybody,
you know, I'm talking
about everybody.
Both ways,
but, the carrying that goes on in the game. Man, if I could have done that when I played, hell, I can get guy people without having to do that. Man, I'd want to get reincarnated and come back and be able to carry the damn ball.
Gentlemen, I'm going to show you this one play, and this is only exclusive, unfortunately, for the YouTube viewers, not the podcast listeners. But I'm going to show you this play of Ja Morant and the carry late in the game that I'm referring to, which was, again, felt very egregious. And here's the play right here, and this was, in my opinion, a blatant carry. I don't know how you not call this, but here it is. There's a step. There's another step. There's a third step. Oh, now he dribbles on step four.
That's just travel.
That's asinine. That is absolutely asinine. Okay, look, the reality of the situation is this. Gary Payton's out, and he was the option to guard Ja, and clearly Ja went off last night partly because his most, you know, stringent defender was no longer there. Rick, I'll start with you. What do the Warriors do? I feel like this is now the time for either Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala, who's missed the first two games of this series. They're going to need him. And his length is huge. His experience is huge. His defensive skills are huge. I think those two are going to have to play a much bigger role defensively. Rick and Brian, what are your thoughts? I'll start with you, Rick.
Well, I know I wouldn't be worried about it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, certainly he makes it tougher. I mean, nobody shuts somebody down. Trust me, I tell you, there's no such thing as a lockdown defender on a scorer, and Ja Morant is a scorer. And so nobody's locking him down. That's not going to happen. But you make him work harder, and that's what Payton did. You know, he can do a great job. Payton Jr. do a great job of that. So that's it's a misfortune. The reality of it is there is no way that this Warriors basketball team playing good, solid basketball on both ends of the court should not beat the Memphis Grizzlies. The problem, they have not played a really good basketball game in the first two games here, and they could easily have won game number two. Easily.
Easily. Yeah.
8% from threes, 42 from there. You know, I mean, there was just so many things, the calls that didn't go their way. I mean, they could have still won that game. So what they do, they're not going to win every time if Ja gets 40 points or something. I mean, he's not going to do that every game, and he's not going to shoot as well as he shot in this game, I think, in next games coming up from the perimeter. So just keep playing, make him work, do a little, watch some of the tapes again and see how they miscommunicated trying to keep him out and make him shoot more shots from the outside. Just stop him from getting to the damn basket. And then the other thing is to screen your guys off the boards and do a good job. I mean, too many offensive rebounds. You can't give teams 3, 4, 5 shots. So they were lucky in a way, because I know Memphis is saying, hey, we won this game. We only shot 39%, right? And we won.
Right.
I mean, so they're over there talking about, hey, we didn't play well either, so we can beat this team. play our game. Well, their game, their best game, and the Warriors' best game, the Warriors are winning. Okay, I'm sorry.
Agreed.
All right. So that's the reality of it. So yeah, I'm disappointed and sorry for Peyton, you know, getting hurt like that. On such a bad play. Yeah, and there's no way that play compared to Greg Draymond's play is not even close.
I don't. Yeah, you know, it's your buddy Skip Bayless, our buddy, said today that he didn't think that was even a flagrant two. That was just a common foul.
On Draymond?
On Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, well, Skip isn't always right, as we know.
Brian, you know, Rick,
that, let me tell you something. That was as egregious a foul and as stupid a play as you can make in the game of basketball, other than undercutting a guy in the air.
You're 100% right. Brian, your thoughts, sir?
Well, just to touch back on that real quick, you know, Rick, you said it brought up a scary, painful memories for you. It's exactly how Brandon Rush tore his ACL, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. He was pushed from behind, going up.
Good memory.
Came down, tore his ACL, and he's never, I mean, he never was the same player ever again. And so, yeah, I think, maybe, you know, whether it's happened to you personally or it's happened to a teammate, I think the Warriors are kind of extra sensitive to this, or at least some of the guys on the team, due to what they've experienced either directly to themselves or people they know. As for what the Warriors do from here with Peyton out, they can't put Poole on him. On Ja, because that is they are seeking out Poole at every opportunity. I expect that Klay is going to get more of the assignment. I think Wiggins will get, you know, Wiggins might be the primary guy on him. Iguodala, if he's able to, you know, be close to his usual self upon coming back, I'm sure he'll get some opportunities. But it's definitely going to be a defend by committee kind of thing. I think Rick is absolutely right. You give Ja the perimeter shots. If he makes them, you say, you give him the applause and say, make the next one too. But they do have to find a way to curtail some of that penetration that he's been able to get. And, you know, it seems pretty obvious to me that Ja prefers to go left, prefers to finish with his left. I actually found out today that his left arm is 2 inches longer than his right. I read a story about that. I don't know how much of a difference that actually makes, but
Rick, did you know that? That's weird.
I guess he broke his elbow, I think, on his right arm when he was a kid, jumping on a trampoline, and I guess as a result his left arm is a little bit longer.
That's weird. That is weird. That's incredible.
I think it really boils down to, I think the Warriors have far more reasons to feel optimistic about where this series is headed compared to the Grizzlies. I think, you know, especially with the series shifting back to the Bay Area now, traditionally role players, you know, they play better at home in the playoffs. Some of the bigger shots that have been hit by the Grizzlies have come from their role players. Zaire Williams had a few big shots yesterday, De'Anthony Melton. So, you know, if we're assuming that maybe some of those shots aren't going in and the Warriors role players are performing better, I think, you know, the math gets tighter and tougher for the Grizzlies. And that's especially true if they're down one of their top perimeter guys
let's just look at the realization of it. Okay. The Warriors did not have good shooting from 3-point range from their two best 3-point shooters.
You're right. Do you know why you feel like
in both games, Cyrus, guys? I'm serious. Both.
No, you're
games,
right.
And they.
You're right.
Here's the thing. But they still found the way to wind up winning. Okay,
yeah.
On the road, and they did what they needed to do. I also didn't bring up, and I'll bring it up now. I don't think that they were mentally ready to play this game when they stepped out on the court. And same thing with the Bucks in the Bucks game. They figured, well, we got the win we needed to get. Hey, when you get the win you wanted to get, you want to stick the dagger all the way through the heart. Okay. you know, go out there and kick their butt, win the second game. Now that changes the entire dynamic of the series. Right now, they just changed the whole thing. Now, hey, now they have to win one only in Golden State in order to still win and win at home. So they still feel fairly confident, especially after mm-hmm. this game. So the thing is, you win that second game, man, now you got to win two on their court.
Right. And the shooting has been abysmal, especially in game two. You had Andrew Wiggins 1-for-7 from three. Stephen Curry only 3-for-11 by his standards. Awful. And Klay Thompson 2-for-12. Let's end the show on this note for both of you. Why do you think the shooting has plummeted? Is it Memphis? Is it the Warriors?
No. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. I've watched him. I love him. He's one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen. And we talked about it once before on my show. Sometimes he's taking too quick a shot and not getting set. He did a bunch of that today.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, what you want to try to do, you got to try to go and get it so that you have Klay and have his feet. If he gets his feet set, he's not going 2-for-12, okay? And the thing is, they weren't just misses. They were bad misses.
There's an air ball. There's an air ball in there.
Steph, I'm telling you, when a player is missing, like great shooters like these two guys are, if you see shots left or right missing, they're having a really bad night because they rarely miss left and right. That ball is usually straight. It's either long or it's short, sometimes in and out. But left and right, man, you know something bad is going on. So there's no way in the world I expect both of those guys to have performances like they had on the road shooting the basketball. Maybe, you know, not just at home, but I don't know for the entire series if they'll have that happen.
Brian, what do you think is going to happen? Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, we've been watching Steph and Klay for years, right? I mean, this happens. Sometimes they have bad games, and then the next game, they're shooting the lights out, right? So you take the occasional bad with the good with these guys. You know that it's not going to be a consistent problem, and it would not surprise me in the slightest if one or both of them caught fire in game three and, you know, single-handedly carried the Warriors to a victory. And I do think the emotion and tenor of game two is going to lend itself to quite the home environment at Chase for game three. And you know, the Steph and Klay and Draymond, they love that kind of stuff. So I expect the Warriors to come out ready to play and playing with force.
And Rick, let's end on this note. What are your predictions on game three? And what are your thoughts on retribution? Is that a possibility? Do the Warriors get payback for this? What are your thoughts in game three?
No, this is going to be an important game for the Warriors, just as it's an important game, obviously, for Memphis. But I think even more so for the Warriors. They have to establish you guys are not going to beat us in this freaking building and crush them a little bit, because right now they're thinking they can win a game. And so from that standpoint, they're going to be super ready to play because they know how important it is to get that victory. So both teams should be mentally ready to go out and play the basketball. How well they play physically, I don't know. The Warriors have no business calling the league office and doing anything despite all of the bullshit that happened in that game. The bottom line of it is they did not play good enough to win that basketball game. 42%, 18% from three-point range. Shot selection, not very good at times. Shots with nobody underneath the basket. So, and turning the ball over 18 times. You know, I mean, you're not going to win basketball games doing that. They almost did it on the road. So I don't expect the Warriors to play that badly at home. And if they play any better than they just played there, they're going to win the basketball game in game three.
Let's hope. You can follow Brian Witt on Twitter at Witnessed with an extra T in there. And Hall of Famer Rick Berry, you can find him on all social media platforms at Rick24Berry. You can follow me on Twitter at DogSurf Roadshow and this program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Jared Greenberg of TNT, he was the courtside reporter for Game 2 and for the majority of this series. He's going to join me tomorrow. Gentlemen, thank you so much. This was a great show. I know Dub Nation is going to appreciate both of your thoughts. And let's hope we have a changing of the tide for game three. It's definitely needed, Dub Nation. Gentlemen, thank you. This was a pleasure. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks for having me on, Cyrus. All right, great guys. Chatting, Rick.
See you. Enjoy it. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care, everyone.